So we've got the active member sheet in everybody's mailbox out there for Christmas cards or anything of that nature that you'd want to send out this time of year. Everybody, after the end of service, where did I put it? Grab an ornament from the back if you haven't already, and then we're going to put them up here on the tree like we always do. In your handouts today, you've got a little pamphlet on Week of Prayer for the International Missions. So that's kind of cool. You can just go follow right along with it. It gives you a day one, day two, and kind of that way each day you know you're praying with a large group of people for these missionaries. So that's kind of something cool to keep as a part of your morning prayer. We also have a handout on our yearly Lottie Moon Christmas offering that we do every December. There's information on that card as well. So keep that in mind and pray on if God leads you to give anything to that. Okay, and then Mike said we've got three of these coffee mugs left. That's going to fall, isn't it? It's got a cool American eagle on it. And they're where? Where are the other three? Just right in the... Oh, on the ornament table. And I've got one. So I'm going to be selling this one if you don't get one of the three. It'd be like one of those crazy Christmas movies where they're all going to try to get the last present. And they're like running each other over. But that's not how we're going to behave, is it? No.
Okay.
Now to the best thing, probably the most important announcement of the year. Happy birthday to myself and Jessica. Yeah. We will also be receiving gifts throughout the month of December, so that mailbox is, don't be shy. And we've also got Rolinda Thompson, or Thomas, geez, that's on the 2nd, which is tomorrow. But today's about her and I, okay? Just kidding. Okay, then we already talked about the Lottie Moon Week of Prayer, which I think is a really cool idea, so... And then also we talked about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Our goal this year is $1,500, so we've got through the end of December. Hopefully we can make that happen. And we've got another joint service coming up with Graceway, and that'll be next Sunday at 10:45. And this is cool. We've got a kind of question and answer time after, because I'm sure whether they're concerns or just questions that you have about a potential, what it would look like for us to merge, that will be an open time for anybody to come and ask any questions that they might have. So... And it even says on here, if you aren't comfortable like standing up in front of people and asking a question, you can write it down and put them in on the offering plate. So if you have anything that you want to say, speak now or forever hold your peace, as they say. And business meeting as well, the following Wednesday will be December 11th at 6 p.m. I think that's it. Been up here for a while. Okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear God, we come to you in prayer. We pray, we thank you for all that you give us, for all the blessings that we have, the ones that we recognize and the ones that we don't, God. And we pray as we move into this December month and we anticipate Christmas, God, that we will keep in mind the meaning of Christmas and that the incarnation is an incredibly profound and beautiful thing, obviously, God. You becoming, sending your son to become a man and to experience some of the things that we experience so that we can sympathize, so that you can sympathize with us and things, and so ultimately that you could take our place as and redeem mankind to be made right with you, God. And so we just pray that we keep those things in mind this December month. We pray that you continue to bless and guide and give wisdom to both church leadership regarding this potential merger, and that your will be done here. And we just pray for a great worship here this morning. And it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.
Together we share the good news of Jesus with people and in places where it has never been heard. Lostness is the world's greatest problem. But God has provided a solution, and that solution is the gospel. And together, we are reaching the nations.
Have you ever wondered what exactly a missionary does? Maybe you're picturing someone in remote places, like jungles or villages. It's true, some IMB missionaries serve in remote locations, but you can find spiritual lostness anywhere. Because lostness is found everywhere, IMB missionaries serve everywhere. In modern cities, classrooms, hospitals, gyms, cafes, and virtual reality. Everywhere people gather is an opportunity to share the good news of God's love. In Africa, doctors cure physical ailments and disease, but also share Jesus with all they serve. Even in bustling locations like Japan, teaching English can lead to gospel conversations. In Europe, there are missionary coaches who lead a team, yet also lead through evangelism and discipleship. Beyond the cities to the most remote places, missionary explorers are trained to search for and find the lost who have never heard the gospel. There's not just one type of missionary, nor is the gospel confined to one location. Each missionary brings their unique passions, experiences, and skills to the mission field to reach the unreached in creative ways. God has uniquely created you with your own passions, experiences, and skills. How will you use them faithfully? You can be a missionary and reach the lost with the gospel. That's what a missionary does.
We're Zach and Hannah Welch, and along with our three children, we're your IMB missionaries to Ivory Coast, West Africa. In the United States, I was an attorney, as well as a bivocational pastor at a small Southern Baptist church in Tallapoosa, Georgia. In many ways, our life has translated well to West Africa, as I manage the entities and properties of our mission here, as well as help missionaries find housing, find vehicles, helping keep our missionaries on the ground. I also work with churches as I preach several times a month and disciple people who disciple more people.
Since I was a teacher in the States, I have continued to use those gifts and abilities that the Lord has given me here in the Ivory Coast through homeschooling our children and teaching women in the local church. Thank you for your giving to the cooperative program and to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which gives us a presence here in the Ivory Coast.
Invited to stand.
Let us adore Him in Christ.
Decorate the Christmas tree.
Carrie, if you do, let's go ahead and let's try a little bit of organization. We'll go this way, and then we'll go this way, okay? So let's let this group over here come this way and do something. Very cool. I'll just stick this one right there.
A lot of up and down. Let's all stand one more time.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Our God, thy dear. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to gather, to decorate the tree as we start this season of Christmas, our time that we take to honor the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you for all the blessings, Father, uncountable, unimaginable blessings, and the greatest of all, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He came and died so that we could be saved. And we just praise you for that, Lord, and know that we can probably never comprehend that enough to appreciate it fully as we should, but we will someday. And we thank you for that promise. We ask that you bless our service this morning. Speak to each of us in a special way as we hear your message for us this morning. And help us to carry it in our hearts as we go and out into the missionary field, Father, to reach as many people as we can and teach them why this season is so important and what great historical event it represents. And I ask that you bless the offering this morning, Father. And thank you for those who are willing and able to give, to support this ministry, and to help build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We invite you to stand.
Release us, help us find.
Beautiful singing. You know this, always I say this, Christmas songs and Easter songs are the greatest songs that ever written, aren't they? Beautiful songs, powerful songs, songs with great message. And now we're going to look at Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And you say to yourself, what on earth has that got to do with anything? I'm not sure. We'll get there. Maybe we will. So Leviticus says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in his skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair of the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of the flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of the flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, then the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up another 7 days more. And the priest shall look upon him again the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he has seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We come before you today to honor the Lord Jesus, the great salvation you have so freely given to all who will believe. Whether it be white or yellow or black or white, rich or poor, man or woman, the invitation is come, come all, come and be cleansed of sin, that you might stand before the throne of God, acceptable, holy in thy sight because of Jesus. Help us look at these scriptures this morning and we might learn of you. Decisions need to be made, Father. Even this day, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Well, I think about this in a sense. I'm praising the Lord that Hansen's disease is very rare. Most people with Hansen's disease in the United States become affected with the disease from a foreign country. Oh, Hansen's disease is leprosy. Each year, about 225 people contract that disease in America. Do you know that? It's amazing, isn't it? Back in 2 Kings chapter 5, we encounter a remarkable story about Nahum, a great man, captain of the host of the king of Syria. And the scripture says that he was a mighty man in valor. That means courageous. But he was a leper. Verse 2 tells us that there was a maid who served Nahum's wife and told her there was a prophet in Israel which could recover him of his leprosy. And so this maid says to her mistress, there's somebody that can do something about this. A man of God in Israel. So now the plot really thickens, doesn't it? It tells us in verse 6 that the king of Syria sent a letter to the king of Israel saying, behold, I have therewith sent Nahum, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The king of Syria sent a letter to who? The king of Israel. And he's saying to the king of Israel, okay, here's my man, fix him. So the king of Israel's reaction is somewhat understandable. It says in verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So the king of Israel is thinking, the king of Syria is looking for an offense. He's wanting to do something, because I can't do anything about leprosy. Everybody should know that I can't do anything about leprosy. And yet he sent this guy to me. Then verse 8 it says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, that heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. You know what the world needs to see? They need to see there are people who believe in Jesus, and their lives are multiplied different. And the world would clamor to us to know these truths if we were bold like that. So Nahum, it says, came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. So now Nahum could have just got on a horse and rode over there. But he got in his chariot and he stood there before Elisha, the man of God. And Elisha didn't even come out to meet the man. Here's the captain of the host of Syria. Boom! What if somebody pulled up here in about 4 big limos, 25 different cars out there, and 200 people got out in their parking lot, and somebody was waiting to open the door? Would we go to the window to look? We'd do something, wouldn't we? But Elisha didn't do any of that. He sent a messenger to Nahum. Go and wash. I got it right the first time. Praise the Lord. Wash in Jordan. It's definitely wash. I don't care what you say. In Jordan 7 times. And the flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And so Nahum was just excited about this great news. And that's not what it says. Verse 11 says, but Nahum was what? Wroth. What's wroth mean? He was madder than a hornet. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. I mean, here I am, this big, important guy. I've come all the way. My horses, my chariots, all my men. And he doesn't even come out to talk to me. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord. Do some kind of incantations, right? Do something wild and woolly and all those kind of things. Strike his hand upon the place or something like that. so that I can be recovered of the leprosy. Pour oil on it. You know, I don't know. Kill a bunch of beetles or something. Squish them all together and pack them in. Do something. It doesn't do any of that. So what was Naaman wanting? He was wanting some kind of religious ceremony to be done, wasn't he? I mean, he's an important guy. Elisha should have come out. Elisha should have sent people. Elisha should have done a lot of things. Elisha didn't do any of that. He just told him, go wash. Naaman basically was saying, when he heard this, we've got better rivers than this at home. Why'd I come all the way down here for that? The Bible says, very simply and succinctly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what is it? And thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you'll be saved. No, it's very, it's simple, it's straightforward. That's what's wrong with those folks out there. It's too simple, it's too straightforward. That can't be it, really? Don't I have to do something? Don't I need to wash in a river somewhere? Don't I need to put on some special clothing? Don't I need to be baptized? Don't I need to be sprinkled with something? You name it. The Bible just says, believe. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus. And you shall be saved. God, who cannot lie, says this is the way to do it. Put your faith in Jesus. Boom. What kind of restrictions is that? None whatsoever. Put your faith, no matter how small it is, put your faith in Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. But lost people want something to happen. They want some kind of ceremony. They want some kind of deal that would show that some mighty things are going to happen. Well, God doesn't do it that way. He never does. It's always very simple and straightforward. Matthew, in Matthew's gospel, says, over in Matthew 7, 28 through 8, 4, it says this. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished. And Jesus said unto him, seeing thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer a gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So Jesus has done this miraculous thing, and he's basically telling him, just do what you're supposed to do. Jesus said to him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show yourself to the priest. That's what the scripture said to do. Offer a gift that Moses commanded. There was an order of service, I guess we might say, for a testimony unto them. Let us, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, the scripture says. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. God's throne, God's door, God's avenue of approach is always open. Not just open at 10:30 or something like that on Sunday morning. It's always open. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the middle of the night, doesn't matter. Out on the road someplace, it doesn't matter. God always is available to us. Come boldly. That's a great invitation, isn't it? Just come. Just come. You know, many times, life has kicked me in the face. Has he ever done that with you? It's not what I wanted. It's not what I planned. But it happens. I didn't know it was coming. You wouldn't know it was coming. You can understand it. You say, I don't deserve that or whatever. We can make it all those kind of things. Was God surprised? Not one bit. Let us come boldly. Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, God's doors are open to us. Come confidently. Come boldly. A Bible scholar pointed out this mighty truth that we might have missed. It says this: blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, I think you may have heard that. Somebody else said that. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:3 says. This man was truly poor in spirit. He had nothing to commend himself. He had leprosy. Everything had been taken away from him. What did this poor, miserable leper have to offer Jesus? Nothing. Matthew 4, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The leper was a walking dead man. Matter of fact, when he walked, and he had to do some things, didn't he? One of the things he had to do was what? Hey, I'm a leper! Get back! Get back! Get back! Go home! Get off the street! I'm coming. He had announced that all the time. The scripture says, though, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For what? God's going to withhold stuff like that from you until you get straightened up. You shall be filled. You shall be filled. This poor leper was a desperate man. He had nothing to offer. Over in Luke chapter 18, verse 10, Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. That's a tax collector. Probably the worst hated organization of the United States government is the IRS. We don't like those guys. We don't look forward to filling out that form or anything else. This leper was desperate, though. Over in Luke 18, Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a publican, a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus, I always think this, with himself. That's a little tip off. God, I thank thee. They are not like other men are, extortioners. I'm not one of those guys. Unjust. I'm always just. I'm not an adulterer or even a publican like this guy. I've even got a good job. This guy's got a horrible job. Not only do I do all those kind of things, I fast twice in a week. Have you ever fasted at all? Twice a week? Once a year? Twice a year? Somewhere. Special occasions. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have. We're told in the scripture that even their little window box that had the mint and the cumin and all those kind of things, they tithed that. Twice a week I fast. I give tithes of all that I have. What was he trying to do? Trying to follow the letter of the law to the full extent and even go beyond. To prove what? His righteousness. But verse 13 says, and the publican standing afar off would not even lift so much up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't know about you, when you read that passage, sometimes I have come to the end of that passage and I think to myself, Lord, I'm sure glad I'm not like that Pharisee. Have you ever said that to yourself? I'm not like that guy. I'm humble like that guy. No, you're that guy. Jesus said that he exalts himself shall be abased. And he who humbles himself shall be exalted. God is looking for ways to bless his people. And he wants to bless us. And he wants us to have that humility of heart and mind. Because when we're in that state, we're there perfectly right position for God to bless us. And you know, those kind of things happen and they take us by surprise. We're hoping that might happen, but we're hoping against hope because we know that God's not going to do that. We're too terrible. We're not good enough. We're not like the guy down the road. We're not like that, and this and that. We're not that way. But we are where we're at, and God will meet us where we're at. The writer of Hebrews says to us a very interesting little thing. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to find to help in times of need. It's amazing what God will do with us. Hansen's disease. If I would have just said Hansen's disease, would you have known what that was? I don't know how I found that. I was looking up leprosy and found that. Hansen's disease. I didn't know it had another name. I didn't know that there actually are lepers in America. Did you know that? I didn't know that either. There's actually a place, a leper colony in America. Now, fortunately, as I said a minute ago, in America versus some other countries, it's a very small, minute population. And that's good. But they're still there. They're still suffering. Those kind of things. Sometimes our medical profession has done things that are kind of questionable. They're looking to try to cure something or do some good. So, syphilis was a very deadly, terrible disease. And so the government of the United States of America decided we're going to do something about that. So there was a hospital opened in Alabama, not too far from Montgomery, that was going to deal with that. But you know what they had to do? They had to have some people who had syphilis so they could bring them there and work on them, see what they could do to fix them, to make them whole. So you know what they did? Just take a wild guess. They gave people the disease. Now, what kind of person thinks he's God that he can give Dennis the disease and me the disease and Todd the disease so that we can cure the rest of you people? Who makes those kind of decisions? You know, I think they probably thought it was altruistic, don't you think? Well, we've got to have somebody so we can work on this, so we can help the greater majority and all those kind of things. These things work out wrongly. These things turn out to be something that's a terrible stain on the page of history. Because these who were trying to heal picked people to give syphilis to so that they could experiment on them to try to find a cure. Who did they pick? State senator's son? No. Who did they pick? Does anybody know who they picked? Yeah. Say it again. Blacks, minorities, and prisoners. Why do you think they picked them? I think because nobody cared. These are the dregs of society. Let them be doing something useful. Blacks, minorities, and prisoners. Oh, did they get to volunteer for these things? No. No, they just started doing it to them. And of course, they were fully prepared and were looking that this person then got the disease. And they said, oh, come on here. Come on. We're going to try to help cure you. We do stuff that we regret. Have you ever done anything you regret? I'm sure you have. You justified it somehow or another because this needed to be this and needed to be that, and so you had to bring it together for this. We do that. This poor guy comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, sir, if you're willing, you can heal me. What does the scripture say Jesus said? I am willing. And he touched him. And he told him, now listen, go show yourself to the priest. That's just what it says to do in Leviticus. Nothing special there. Go show yourself to the priest. Do what they tell you to do. Amazing, isn't it? Of course, that one incident that was a little different than this one, but it's very similar. Jesus heals several lepers all at the same time. How many came back and said to Jesus, thank you? Once he showed himself to the priest and did all he was supposed to do, how many came back? Dennis, I know you know. And Jesus said what? Where are the other seven? All were healed. I'm confident of that. All went to the priest and all the priest said, my goodness, miracles, miracle of miracles, you're healed. And they ran home and they hugged their wife and kids and all those kind of things and never once thought to go say something like, Lord, thank you for giving me new life. I kind of think that in the same way we are when we come to Jesus. Probably we're wrestling in our hearts and our minds. The Holy Spirit has worked on us and finally broke through to us that we're sinners. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. That we're sinners. Well, not me. I'm a pretty good guy. I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever done that. Those kind of things. You know what has to happen? A supernatural work of God has to happen in each life. They have to be convicted that that's a problem. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm certainly better than that guy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. A-L-L. What does that mean? Everybody. Actually, it's a very comforting thought if you think about it. Everybody's in that boat. And God's not just picking out a few. He says, everybody come to me and I'll make you whole. God's grace is so magnanimous that he makes no differentiation between what we would call the worst sinner there is and the nicest sinner that you know. Because sin is sin. And we want to constantly rate it and mess with it and adjust it and those kind of things. God doesn't do in those kind of things. And you know what the biggest problem we have as being the church of the living God? We forgot that. We've forgotten it. Oh, there was probably a time that your heart was lifted up and you were joyful and you were just praising God over and over and over again, but you got used to it. And the devil slips in there, he starts putting those little wedges in there, doesn't he? Well, okay, you're saved. But that guy over there can't be saved. That gal over there can't be saved. Don't bother with him. That guy, he's a drunk. He's a druggie. She's a prostitute. All those, that's the devil telling you stuff like that. Because God wants all to be saved. Jesus came and paid the price for all men. There's a ransom left on the altar of God, paid in full, that somebody hasn't picked up. Probably, because we, as the people of God, the recipients of that grace, have somehow elevated ourselves to special status. And we're better than that guy. That guy hardly ever comes to church at all. Coming to church doesn't save you. We're worshiping because of our salvation. It's interesting this morning that we had that brief little film about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the different places throughout the world where that offering was sending missionaries and people were receiving Christ. There's two places that I've been reading about that God has moved in those places in revival. Does anybody know one? See, you're not paying attention to my sermons. I say it all the time. Where? What was it, Elsie? Korea? Yes. Korea's been in revival since 1954. It hasn't stopped yet. Isn't that amazing? China! God's working in China. Communist China. Where the slightest misstep might throw you in prison and nobody see you again. But they're still worshiping. I don't know. I hope it'd be me, but I don't know. Amazing, isn't it? You know the other place that they're working? That God's Spirit's working? You have this little continent down from Europe. It's called Africa, North Africa. All those Islamic states across North Africa, God is moving and saving people. Not just one. Not just hundreds, but by the thousands. And you know what? Those rulers of some of those countries are just terrified with what's going on. And they're trying every possible way, shape, fashion, or form to stop it. Keep it up, buddy. Keep it up. Waste all your energy trying to stop God. You're not going to stop God. What's wrong with you? Well, they're lost, they're blind, they can't see, they can't hear. But God's working. You know, I was glad that President Trump got to be president again. I know this is political. You can write me a note afterwards. I don't care. I'll even read it if you want me to. I'm glad that he was elected. I think there was some common sense to some of the things he was talking about. I don't know, and, you know, I'm judging, that's for sure. I think his opponent doesn't know how to pour sand out of her shoe. So praise God, some common sense swept America, and we voted for the guy. Is he perfect? Oh, my goodness, no. But listen, president being elected is not what we need. What we need is a Holy Spirit movement among the people of God to reach out to the lost all around us with the good news. It's good news. God can forgive you. He can clean you up. He can use you. He'll bless you. He'll bless everything around you. He pours out his blessing. He pours out. Pours out. You know, this time of the year, for a few short weeks, people will start thinking about baby Jesus. I don't know how important that is, but I do know that's an opening. That's an opening to tell them about the Lord Jesus and what he can do for them. We have a few short weeks where this door is open. I know it's open. It's open. Maybe we need to go home, write a little note to somebody of encouragement. Maybe we haven't seen this person in a long time. Invite them to come to Sunday school, come to worship, whatever it might be. The window is open. How long? I don't know. Will we take advantage? I pray we take advantage. Take advantage. Heavenly Father, this leper came to Jesus. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I'm willing. Lord, if you're willing, you can use me. You can use me. Help me to be willing. Lord, you're willing to use Calvary Baptist Church. If we're willing, you're willing. Bless us that we might be a blessing. Open our hearts so we can see. Your Spirit open other people's hearts. Help us to be mobilized in service to Jesus first and foremost. Lord, even here today, I'm sure we have people on our hearts. We can't look in. We can't be absolutely 100% positive. But I believe we all probably know somebody who's never accepted Christ. There might be nice folks, and they don't kick the dog and all that kind of stuff, but they do not have Jesus in their hearts. Lord, help us. This opportunity window is open to share with them the truth of this season. The truth of this season is Jesus. Lord, I ask your blessing on all those here today. Thank you for their kind attention. Be with us now as we go from this place and we drive out that to St. Joe Center. We're entering the mission field. Lord, send us. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name.